This is Ed Stetzer. You're listening to the newchurches.com podcast.
You just took it over right there.
Your source. Well, say it. I'm going to say it with you.
Going from non-interrupting to just
doing it.
You're just taking over.
Say it. I'm going to try to say it with you. Just go ahead and say it.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts. Hey, that was good.
That was good. I'm pretty impressed. I don't know on the recording if it'll line up.
Won't. We'll sound like fools, but it's okay. All good. Hey, today we have a question from our good friend Casey, who is from We Start Churches.
I wanted Rob from Saskatoon. I miss Rob from Saskatoon.
You know, I don't think he's left a question since like episode 105 or like 119
or something. He likes us though. There are like four people in Saskatoon and Rob is all four of them. And so he leaves lots of messages for us. And so I like him. Yeah. But anyway, it is what it is. So this guy is from where?
This is Casey Carricker from We Start Churches.
Oh, yeah. Casey's great. He's with the Free Will Baptists. And so I'm glad he chose to leave a question there. You get that? A little Arminian humor. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Tip your usher if you're at church.
Oh, man. All right. So let's actually listen to the question.
Hey, Daniel. This is Casey Carricker with Rejoice Church. And I serve as a volunteer leader for We Start Churches. My question is pertaining to assessment that many church planting organizations use. When speaking to a possible church planter in regards to preparing for assessment, what are the three or four things that you would advise them to do or to study or to think about in regards to assessment and preparing for that? And second of all, if you had a planter that maybe did not do well in assessment, would you advise them to just not plant at all, or if they have a calling to plant, to go ahead and continue forward with their plans? How would you handle just a situation like that? Thanks for your time.
So once again,
I gotta jump in. No, because he said Daniel. He didn't even recognize that I'm on this podcast. Is this just your podcast, or are we on this podcast together?
So after all the editing, you know, by our producer happens, they basically edit you out and switch your voice with my voice. So it's the Daniel show.
So I'm spending these hours recording. Oh gosh, this is not good.
Yeah, really double time. I'm glad we're answering this question again, Ed. And that's because...
Wow.
And I'm glad we're doing that because last time we recorded, which no one is ever going to hear, is because we didn't really agree on the whole thing.
We did not. We came to different conclusions. But to be fair, he asks you, because it appears that I'm not on this podcast. We Start Churches. I think they asked me to speak at their meeting. The answer is no. I'm not going to come speak at your meeting.
I am actually speaking at their meeting, though.
Are you? Is that the one in Oklahoma City?
No, that's with the state convention. And then I'm doing
We Start Churches is their kind of national thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing an event
really
with them
work.
In
that's
Phoenix.
In like Phoenix or something.
Yeah. I'll be there.
There's no place more exciting than Phoenix in the summertime.
No joke. All right. So where we landed last time, because although it sounded like we had disagreed, we really did agree, because it was just this whole idea of that word assessment. And when church planners talk about assessments.
People haven't listened to this podcast. They have no idea. So I messed up the audio recording, just so everybody knows. All right, keep going.
When we talk about assessments, especially as it relates to church planting, we all have... It's like if you say the word flower, right? And I just say flower, some people are going to think baking. Other people are going to think a tulip. Another person is going to think a rose. So I think the same thing happens when we say the word assessment in church planting circles. It's like, are you talking about the application? Are you talking about the pre-assessment inventories? Are you talking about the assessment center? Are you talking about a Ridley interview? So I just wanted to kind of set that stage of all the different, you know, what we could be talking about and inferring when we talk about assessments. But there really is a difference in each of those stages, right, Ed?
Well, I think that's the key. Okay, so a couple of things. So what the word assessment means mean different things to different people. Now, it's a very technical meaning to me. I wrote my PhD dissertation on the development of church planting systems. And so assessment means to me a behavioral assessment that both of his questions would be answered, well, no, or they'd be answered clearly. Here's why. So his first thing, how should I prepare? The answer is you shouldn't. And the answer is, what should I go forward if I don't pass assessment? The answer is no. Now, here's why. I'm not talking about an assessment like a search process, like a consideration process. An assessment, in the typical way we use it, in the technical way we use it, is a behavioral interview that is asking the questions, do you or do you not have a set of characteristics in your life that create you the kind of people, make you the kind of people where you're a starter, where you're an entrepreneur. So, you know, so I'm a church planter. I planted, you know, I don't know, it depends how you count, 5 or 6 churches. And yet I was starting 2 businesses in high school. Mm. Now here's the deal. I am not good at a whole lot of things. And there are people who are amazing pastors, 50 times better than me and you combined, who could pastor more in their pinky than our whole existence, mm-hmm. but they're not church planters. So the whole idea behind the church planting assessment is that there are certain individuals who have a wiring that makes them good at church planting. And if that's true, and that's what the Ridley assessment's based on, that's that whole 13 characteristic or 6 knockout assessment, that's what the church planter candidate assessment is based on at Lifeway, Lifeway Research, it's all based on that idea. Now, since he asked you the question, we would say, and where I don't think we disagreed, but we sort of disagreed, is that what we would also say is, man, if you go there and they knock you out because you're not good at preaching, you can address that. You can't change fundamentally maybe who you are. I guess in a sense, the gospel can change anything. But I mean, as far as entrepreneurial, you can't change that, but you can be a better preacher. Maybe you got bumped out of assessment because I bumped a guy at assessment once because he was just a jerk to his wife. Yeah. You know, so I think that's, I sound very animated here. I don't know if you do that animated.
No, I mean, part of it is every church planter is a pastor, but not every pastor is a church planter. Right. So
you should drop the mic at that point.
Right. So in light of that, would you say, Ed, that just that kind of that ability or that drive to start things, to be entrepreneurial, is, would you say that that's maybe more one of the most important characteristics for church planters?
Yes. Now, again, you and I would both agree that 1 Timothy 3 are qualifications. You have to have those to be a church planter. You know, preaching ability, 100 things we could say, spiritual maturity and more. But I would say that we believe, based upon research and practice and things of that sort, that there are certain characteristics of church planters that are discoverable and discernible, and when discovered and discerned, are a good path forward for a church planting process. Now, again, it's all the other stuff. So I think what happened with a lot of people is they've sort of mixed all these things together.
Yeah, definitely.
So part of it's like your application process. You know, so if you don't theologically align with the movement you're in, you shouldn't plant a church with them. If you're not 1 Timothy 3 qualified, you shouldn't plant a church. You know, those things all deeply, deeply matter.
Yeah, so in Planting Missional Churches that we, the second edition we did together, we list 6 indicators in addition to the 1 Timothy 3 requirements. So I'll just list them quick for our listeners. Number 1 was a pattern of ministry initiation. Number 2 is a pattern of ministry multiplication. 3 is personal wiring. 4 is a holy dissatisfaction. 5 is a family commitment. And 6 is church affirmation. So as you're personally wrestling through 1 Timothy 3 and seeing what other people say about you and the calling that God has placed on your heart, where fruit is being born, think through these 6 affirmations and these indicators as well before you even go to an assessment, before you even do a pre-assessment. Just walk through these things, because sometimes what we try to do is we try to get other people to make the decisions for us, when really, you know, it's kind of like God is saying, hey, are you gonna drink milk, or are you gonna learn how to chew meat? Right. And one of the things is, yes, assessments and having other people help you and discern and speak into your life needs to be a part of the process, but don't make that the first part if you're trying to discern if church planting is for you.
Yeah, that's good. No, I think that's right on. And I would say too, you know, I don't think it's spiritually responsible to just say I'm going to be a church planter or not based upon my personality wiring. I mean, man, there are biblical qualifications that really matter, and you and I are both concerned deeply about. And there's callings and more. I think for all of us, I think for all of us, knowing that this call is more than just an assessment matters. So, so again, keeping in mind, kind of back to this question, that some organizations now are not as clearly delineating between behavior and other qualifications, like the behavioral assessment. You know, I think you might have to ask the question, how do I prepare? It depends on, I would do what they ask. If they ask you to prepare a sermon, I prepare a sermon. I would never answer in a way that makes me sound more gifted in entrepreneurial work than I am. I would answer honestly and clearly and just help, because this is the process. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
It's not like a hoop to jump through. Now I was working with a group, and I'll just use their initials, but it was Anglican, and there's a lot of Anglican groups.
Yeah, so there are,
they've all like changed names like four times, but this was years ago, and they asked me to assess their planners, and I was living in Georgia at the time, and you know, I said okay, so I assessed five of their church planners. I failed four of them, behavioral assessments, right? I failed four of them, and they sent all five of them out, and I was kind of like. Well, and so within a year, four of them, I think it was a year and a half, four of them failed. And the one that passed the assessment was successful.
Wow.
And so I said to them, so you're not assessing people. What you're doing is you're giving them a hoop to jump through, but everyone who jumps through the hoop, you'd let through. So that's not really even assessment.
No kidding.
So I want some real assessment that some people fail. Now, it doesn't mean they failed. It just means that they are. I would fail an assessment for a lot of things. I would fail an assessment for being a good pastoral counselor. Mm. Doesn't mean that I've failed in my life. It means that I'm probably not going to be good at that.
Yeah. So the last half of the question is, there are church planters who do assessments and they don't do well and they fail. How would you advise them? Right. And I think the way we answer this question is really dependent on whether you're talking about that assessment, that what you've been talking about, that behavioral assessment, or if you're talking about a pre-assessment, you know, a few inventories that you have done. So, well, how would you advise someone who just didn't do well in an assessment?
Well, I would tell them, look first to be three. If God's called them to be a pastor or some role or function that way, man, just follow the Lord's leadership and do that. I just wouldn't necessarily go plant. If you really want to be involved in a plant, be a part of a team member. If you think that there are some things that you could change and develop in, which depends on how they do the assessment, you know, if they're not using a pure behavioral, then work towards those things. I would, and you know, again, if you went to a really dumb assessment center, you might want to try to talk to somebody else. But again, these are your friends. It's a terrible thing to go out and try to plant a church and fail. It's hard on your family. It's just hard. And I've wept with some people in my office, and sometimes you fail just because of the challenges of it. But we want people to be assessed well, because I've been on the other side. I've been on the other side where unassessed planters are charging up a hill and just getting mowed down. And I want something better for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we close out the podcast, Ed, I'd love for you to just list out what did you call those assessment centers? The dumb assessment centers?
The dumb assessment centers.
I'd love for you to just list that out for...
Well, let me give the initials.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.